Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson to the program, who covers Tennessee for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. You're going to be hanging out a lot with Rexrow here in over the next potentially a few weeks here. So good for you. A lot of Rexrow coming up.
What a fun time.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing great now, because I know I won't be later.
Nice.
Very well done. Very well done. So, Mike, Tennessee gets things started against Wofford coming up on Thursday, and then we'll see where things go from there. But what do you make overall of the draw for Tennessee, their side of the bracket, and their path moving forward here?
Yeah, I think from a first weekend draw, it's pretty good for Tennessee. Utah State offensively is interesting, but I don't think Utah State or UCLA as a potential second weekend matchup is bad from a 7-10 perspective. So I like that overall. If you're talking about what Tennessee got, second weekend's definitely interesting in terms of what's potentially out there. I mean, Kentucky, obviously a team that you lost to twice, is a possibility. Illinois, you beat on a buzzer beater in their arena in December, but Illinois probably is better than a six seed. They just had a really bad February while they were super sick. So that's a really talented six. So that second weekend draw is interesting in terms of that Sweet 16 potential matchup as well.
Well, you didn't mention Houston and the Elite Eight game that we're already presuming.
Is Houston getting past Gonzaga?
Oh, God, Ooh. Yes. Are you picking that upset?
I have not picked that upset, but I'm saying that is a when you talk about a second round matchup, that
could
is
be
a
fun.
Hard second round matchup.
I look at UConn and Florida too. I mean, like, I think Florida will dust them, but then again,
there's the pedigree there. But yeah, Gonzaga, Houston. You're talking analytics. It's a top 10 KenPom game in the second round of an NCAA tournament. So that's kind of wild. But the other half of that top half. Purdue is the 4, Clemson is the 5 is not that intimidating.
No.
That's not a great half there. I mean, if Tennessee ran to Purdue, the only thing they're dealing with there is the bugaboo of NCAA tournaments past. But Braden Smith to Kai Ziegler would be a super fun March matchup.
But what do you – let's say we do get Houston-Tennessee. I think it's a – Houston's really freaking good. They can actually shoot this year. But I also think that Tennessee could have gotten a worse one seed than Houston.
I think Houston's probably the second best team in the country behind Florida. And when you talk matchups too, I think Houston's a tough matchup because you're kind of playing a mirror image of yourself if you're Tennessee. Whereas I fully recognize Duke is immensely talented, Cooper Flagg, number one pick, all that. I think Tennessee would have preferred to play Duke potentially because they've seen Duke in the postseason before. They like messing up freshmen. They've got the old guards. Like, there's some stuff there that I think matchup-wise works a little bit better than maybe what you'd get with Houston. But that game, man, I wouldn't want to be an official calling Houston Tennessee.
No doubt.
Mike, how important is Jordan Gainey going to be in terms of the role he plays for how far Tennessee goes in this thing?
Well, he's been important for a long time. I mean, his play this season has changed a ton about this Tennessee team. I mean, offensively, their profile is better than last year's team, which had Dalton Knecht, and that kind of bends the mind just a little bit because it looked so good with Dalton Knecht. But I think one of the big reasons why this team is better analytically, metrically, offensively is because of Jordan Gainey. The way that he's scoring, the things that he's doing more than you got from Santiago Vescovi last year. And that's one of the reasons that this profile I think is raised for the overall ceiling of this team. I mean, what he's done in a couple of games, Illinois and Florida, immensely special. But he's producing like 9 to 12 a game, it feels like, on a pretty regular basis. And importantly, he's good with the ball in his hands now. That allows the Kai Ziegler to be off ball some of the time. They can initiate some different stuff. You've seen them do that from time to time with Gainey and Meshack. But just what he's giving them offensively has really changed what they're able to do.
All right, so my biggest concern on this team is Igor.
Yep.
Igor Milicic. You know, I mean, you – first of all, yeah, very close. I think I said this yesterday on the show, but I was very, very close. I mean, both of us were to one, you know, huge late game plays against Auburn where one, he just doesn't catch the ball, and Ziegler, that great deep catch the whipping ball. And then, you know, and then he just doesn't run the play where it's a slip for a dunk, and he pops out. And Barnes, I might have almost said a swear word at that point. But beyond that, I know, almost. But beyond that, you know, it's just I don't like what I saw in terms of compete level and physicality. I mean, you gotta. I know that's not his game, but still, if you're gonna be the foreman for this team, you gotta bring more of that. What is going on with him? What can they do to get him going?
I mean, he's the X factor. I think I probably said it to you during the Florida game, so we were sitting next to each other. He's the guy that you make the Final Four if he's playing well, potentially, or you might get bounced in the first weekend if he just doesn't show up again. Those were two championship-level games with Auburn and Florida. One of them literally was a championship game, but those are two deep tournament games in terms of what you're going to see. And one of your most important players kind of no-showed you there. I mean, Florida, the game comes down to rebounding in large part against Florida. Igor is your best rebounder. He gets one rebound, is in foul trouble, is not present in that game. Saw a lot of similarities in Auburn's game. And, yeah, you referenced the two turnovers, which in that late game, too, that was when Auburn had made their run. They'd already made the run. And Tennessee comes out of a timeout, and then there's those goofs. You've got to have him out there for his rebounding, for his floor spacing. I mean, he's a good passer. Like, he's just the guy you've got to have out there. But you've got to have him out there being at his best. And it's been probably a month since I felt like he's really been consistent and good. His rebounding's notably down in that stretch. But, like, first half of SEC, pretty darn good. Just hasn't been that. That's the guy they've got to get going. You know, I talked to Coach Gainey after the game, and he kept talking about, you know, he's heard it from us. He's heard it from his teammates. Enough talk. We need him. Like, we need him to focus on defense and rebounding, let the rest fall where it is. But, I mean, Tennessee knows how important he is. He's heard how important he is. Now it's a matter of, you know, can he get going against Wofford and, you know, have a good start feeling yourself again game and move forward well? Because Tennessee's going to need him to really show up in one of those games.
So, Mike, a lot of talk about the conference in general, obviously, with 14 teams getting in the tournament. How much do you think playing through the meat grinder that is the SEC has prepared Tennessee for this tournament?
It's prepared me for this tournament, so that's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously a great situation when you've gone through this conference and played the teams you've played the styles you've played, but now you're heading into something different. And I think a wild card factor there is always how it's called. I mean, you've seen the SEC and the way the games are played and the way they're called. So can you adjust now to a little more freedom of movement, change in terms of how it's called and officiated? But a lot of those teams have a good chance to make some noise. I thought Texas getting in was a little surprising, but obviously good news for the conference and spoke to the pedigree. But, yeah, pretty cool year. And I know they went 500 in conference play, but good job for the SEC to get in that many teams.
I think that was a data point of someone on this station to point out how they're not that great. The wear and tear here beyond the SEC, just the lack of depth for this team.
Yeah.
Like, there are longer timeouts, but like you said, they've been able to take Ziegler off ball a little bit. It seems to me like he looks fine. His legs look like he's got lift on his shot, and he's in better shape in that way going into this tournament than he was last tournament. Are there any concerns? And really, even like Igor, is there an injury possibly as part of the answer with him?
He's dealt with a calf on and off throughout the year. So that has been a thing. But, you know, I thought it was funny. I can't remember which game it was after. Might have been Auburn, but Rick Barnes joked that, you know, Zakai was in foul trouble. It was a really good thing for him because it made him take him out of the game for a little while longer and get him rested, which, yeah, he wasn't toward the end of March last year. I mean, the Purdue game, I think, was his third straight game with 40 minutes in the NCAA tournament or close to that. Depth is kind of that wild card with Tennessee in terms of their roster specifically. They're thin in the post because J.P. Estrella got hurt. They only really play eight guys, and the eighth is Darlenstone Dubar, who I thought showed some good flashes and good minutes in Nashville in both the last two games. You know, or where Igor kind of shrunk in those games, it felt like Darlenstone jumped a little bit, promising there. But he's in and out in terms of minutes. So you're really leaning into seven guys, and that's a very small rotation in March. I mean, Rick Barnes has done it before with some of his rosters in the past in March, but that is hard. It's a very physical, heavy game for seven guys to carry the load there. So that's, again, you go back, Igor's got to show up because you can't lean heavily only on Cade Phillips and Felix Okpara. So depth has kind of been one of the questions all year long, and it's going to be relevant again in March.
Mike, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to getting it rolling here in a couple of days. Keep Rex Road in line, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, Joe, I'm busy whatever night you want to get dinner.
Early, we're going to early bird dinner at my age.
Sorry,
early bird.
Busy.
Yeah, all right.
He's got a lot of stuff
actually,
to do.
I think Mike takes, like, he brings, like, broccoli and, like, Tupperware now to, you know, Mr.
Wow, that's impressive.
Mr. Health Food.
I'm in my 30s. My life changed. My body changed.
Here we go. Thank you, Mike. Mike Wilson for the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rexall. We'll react to what Mike had to say. Take your thoughts on Tennessee, their path in the NCAA tournament. We will get back into the Cam Ward discussion to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rexall, 102.5, 106.3, the game.